Thank you, guys. Bill, again, it's great to have you and Rita with us. So grateful for your passion, for your ministry. And I bet, you know, anybody that knows you, know you weren't just acting up there on that roof. You know, that's just who Bill is. He's just always overflowing with a little enthusiasm. And that's pretty cool. I like that, and I think you do too. Hey, we've been preaching on a series of 2019, and today I want to talk about 2019 being a year of caring. And it doesn't take long to look around and find out that we live in a culture that really, for the most part, doesn't seem to care. I mean, they care about their own stuff. They care about their agenda. They care whether it's politically or whatever, or just an individual. They care about themselves. We've created this culture that it's all about what I want, about what I want to see happen. And God never created it that way. We understand that in our heart. I mean, all you have to do is be a Christian for half a day and realize that God wants you to do something for the benefit of somebody else. So I want to take you to something that I found, a guy named Rondi Oldham, and he wrote this. He said, excellence, remember our very first sermon was a year of excellence. Excellence is a result of caring more than others think is wise, risking more than others think is safe, dreaming more than others think is practical, and expecting more than others think is possible. I like the challenge that's in his quote. I like the direction that it takes us, the flow, but it begins to just begin to create in our hearts an expectation. Listen, this is a quote in Scripture, but it is something that just kind of gets me excited, and I think that we do need to be someone who cares a little bit more than other people think that is wise. I want 2019, and I know you do too, to be a year of caring. Because the truth of the matter is that there's a strong correlation between who we are and what we do. We think that we're identified by a name, maybe a profession, a title or whatever, a status, but we are defined by what we do. It's literally, anybody can have a bunch of words, but it's what we do that makes us who we are. We're connected to Christ, we're committed to Christ, we're followers of Jesus Christ, but are we doing what someone who's connected and committed and following Jesus does? That is the whole point of what we are going to do in the year of 2019. Hopefully, creating a year that we show visibly that we really, really do and care. It's called spiritual intensity. It's when your spirit lines up with what you want to do, the actions, the words that come out of your mouth, the expression that you have to other people, because we know that communication isn't always verbal. Sometimes it's very nonverbal. It's the way you look at someone that causes them to feel welcome more than the words that you say. So we need to be those kinds of people. And I'd like to connect it to our community as much as possible. Because right out there are a bunch of people that are looking for people who care. You know, we live in a world where, you know, they're functional. They've known how to get from point A to point B. They know how to get through the day. But in the midst of all that, you're the same way. Does anybody really care? I mean, like when you really have a problem and you got to call somebody, you got to go somewhere, you got to lean on somebody else's, whether it's their professional services or whether it's you need some help and advice, you really want that person to do a lot more than just give you the answer. You really want them to care. You know, I think every time that I've been a patient, you've been a patient, you go to the doctor, whatever, you really want that person to walk through the door, not do their job, you want them to care about what's happening to you. They want to ask the question, are you okay, without it just being an opening comment. They really want to care. And you can tell that when it happens in somebody. 2019, a year of caring. The truth of the matter is, I think we've got the caring down as to what we do with the caring is what we don't know. There's a lot of Christians that they're moved. There's something that happens in there, and they, you know, I need to do more, or I need to do something, but they don't know exactly what to do. And too often we're waiting for somebody to tell us what to do, and I think God has already told us what to do. I want to share three things with you real quick. Caring is easy because most of us care. We care deeply. But the truth of the matter is, do we care enough to the point to we end up doing something with our care? The second thing is, it's a state of mind, isn't it? When I care, I'm troubled, I'm worried, I'm a little anxious over something. I see this circumstance, maybe it even registers as hurt. But there's something within me that says, you know, we have to move something. We have to do something. Something has to be done. That's what happens when you really, really care. And the third thing is, caring is not hard to understand. What's hard to understand is what to do with the caring. Because everybody was born innately with this sense of caring. But sometimes we just don't know what to do with it. How many times have you found yourself in a situation and you wanted to do something, but you just didn't know what to do? Or maybe you felt like somebody had to come along and give you permission. Or maybe you felt like you had to have some specific training. Well, I love the fact that we have this Good Samaritan law. You know what the Good Samaritan law says? It basically says this. You don't have to be a professional to help someone. We're going to protect you because you know what? Your efforts, even though you didn't know what you were doing, by training, you intervened so that someone could answer, could receive some care. But too, I find we just kind of hold back, and that's not cool. Here's what we do. We equate the sense of caring with an emotion. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if this is as far as we go, then we really, this is a harsh thing to say, but we really don't care. And I'll get to that, and I'll support that with Scripture in just a little bit. The truth is, we don't care unless we really do something with that. You remember the old phrase, don't you? They really don't care. I mean, people don't, know that you care. I mean, they really don't care what you know until they know that you care. It's amazing what God does with just a compassionate heart. It's amazing what God does with somebody who just says, I'm willing. It's amazing what God does with somebody who says, I'm not sure where to start, but I'm going somewhere. You just take that first step. It's amazing what God does on that. Let me share with you how we care. These are three levels that I've created, so this isn't scientific or anything, but the first level is simply this. We care, therefore we feel. We feel something gets in here and it moves us. We feel this deep in there. We see something. We hear something. Were you not moved when Bill was talking about this? Did you not want to go over there and just kind of be in that crowd, be in that video? Didn't you want to have a screw gun in your hand? Didn't you want to be able to see those people celebrating that they finally had this incredible, incredible tabernacle? You didn't know it was going to be the whole illustration of my sermon today, did you? You know, that's why your picture's not up there, just your story. Our heart is touched. We're emotionally affected. And that's a good thing. It's a great way to start, but it's not a great place to end. Because whether it's sometimes we're just churning over in our gut, it can be visual, it can be verbal. It's our stimulus. I mean, our senses are stimulated. We're engaged. But the truth of the matter is, there has to be a response. You know what your response is? When you're moved like that, it's prayer. You begin to pray. You pray for that need. When you don't know what else to do, and maybe it's represented by something that you couldn't take care of it right now because it's not here, it's in Africa, but you begin to pray. Every missionary that comes to this church, what do they ask us to do? They ask us to pray. And it's not what they're taught up in Springfield to say. The first thing you need to say is pray. The reason that they say that was because the first thing that moves the needle is prayer. The first thing that begins to accumulate resources and send them over there is prayer. The first thing that intervenes with somebody's life is prayer. The first thing that causes someone to go, like Bill was saying, from one place to the other, from change to unchanged, unchanged to change, is literally prayer. So we start with an emotion. It's called what we feel, and the response to that is pray. The second level is this. We care, so therefore we give. We give. We get involved. There's something that we can do. Now listen, before you start thinking this is a commercial for another offering, you need to just get off of that and just listen just for a second. Because every time we equate it with money, we start thinking about our wallet instead of our heart. And God says, you know what? If I have your heart, I've got your wallet. He's not worried about your wallet. If you're protecting your wallet, then you're building a guard around your heart. God says, you know, because you care, I want you to give. We care and want to do something about it. It's not just a position, but it's something that we have to do. We desire to do something. And because we're not there, we're not on hand, we can't do something with it, we're not in a position to do something, then you know what? We find a way to give. Monday, tomorrow, at 2 o'clock, we're going to have a funeral. And the cool thing is we have several requests. What can we do? What can we do? So you know what? A lot of people are going to provide a meal. A lot of people are going to show up. You know what you did? Today, there's going to have a viewing. If you go, you know what you're going to do? You're going to give your time. You're just going to go share a little bit of part of you. Because you see, what could you do to really, really heal the heart of a wife that's lost her husband of many, many years? You know what? You just give of yourself. It's not that hard. But that's what we do. You know, it starts with this feeling, so we pray, and then God says, now I want you to give. And God decides what you need to give. And He directs us, and it goes in a lot of different ways. Do you remember the tsunami that hit Japan years and years ago? I mean, when I see those videos, I'm just amazed. You know, just this water that just rushes in. I mean, it takes houses, buildings, boats, ships, cars, and just pushes it through the countryside. Do you remember all the hurricanes that we've had back to Katrina? All of the devastation that happened? Recently, Florence, Michael, which will be going February the 17th down to Florida, helped them to rebuild a church that's been devastated down there by that. It's amazing when all of these things happen. Do you realize that that hurricane was the third greatest hurricane in intensity since we started recording what happens during hurricanes? That whole place is devastated. And God says, I want you to give. I want you to rally the troops. I want you to go down there and make a difference. And can I just tell you, we're just a little speck on the whole spectrum of this thing, but it's one little thing that we can do. We can give of our time. And in doing so, it's amazing. Let me tell you, if you're ever going to give, you need to understand a couple of things. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Listen, feeling is free, but caring is going to cost you. Now, let me tell you another thing. It's going to register as sacrifice, but it's not going to register as a loss. See, a lot of times when we lose something, when we see dollar bills come out of our wallet, when we take time out of our life, when we take time and prepare something and deliver a meal, it's a sacrifice. But the cool thing is it's not going to be a loss. It's not going to be the government telling you, pony up, it's IRS time. It's not going to be somebody taking something from you that you're going to miss, because you're going to miss it. But you're going to miss it for all the right reasons, and God's never going to register to you as a loss. You know what? Instead, somehow, it leaves my wallet, it leaves my timeshare, but then I go, and next thing you know, I've gained something. And only God can do that. Only God can do that. And it starts with caring, because we simply care. Listen, the third thing is we care, therefore we go and we do. There's that opportunity because we weren't there, we couldn't do anything, so we helped give, we pray for it because we care, but now we care enough, and God has opened a door for us to go and do something about it. And that's the most active part of caring, because now I get to flesh and blood live out what I've been feeling in my heart, and God is going to open the doors and give the direction for me to go and do that. It's the best level. This level is not because I'm there, it's because I go and do something. It's when something happens in my life and I go, I have to intervene here. I've got to do something. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I have to do something. If you've ever come up on an accident on the street, you know what? It's tough, isn't it? Sometimes you don't know what to do. I've been there. I've seen a couple. Didn't know what to do, but I had to do something. That's because I cared enough. This isn't a pat me on the back, but you've done that too. You cared enough to do something. You weren't worried about whether it's right, wrong, or different. You just knew that something had to happen, and you had to intervene. And something began to just grow in your heart. You know what it's called? It's called a godly character. Because people with a godly character act. You know what people do with a godly character when they feel like they need to act? They do something. They begin to be active. They find a way to express this because God has asked them to do that. Now, sometimes it's also the weakest part of our Christian walk. Because we care and we pray and we do a whole lot of things, but we don't ever get to that point to where we really go and do something about it. Stop and think about it. What if through a natural disaster we were become aware of it and we raised thousands of dollars for that relief? We had all of these provisions, I mean trailers load of stuff that we could go, but we never sent it. Never left our parking lot. I would just say we didn't care. We may have gathered a bunch of stuff, but we really didn't care. Trust me, this sermon isn't about, don't you feel bad. Because when preachers start preaching like this, I think they're trying to make me feel bad. No, it's not about anybody feeling bad. It's about opening up that part of us that when the next time God gives us the opportunity in the year of 2019, that we feel this care, we're prompted to pray. If nothing else, we begin to give. But if he opens that door to where we can go and do, that we're now encouraged. That somewhere in here, the Holy Spirit has not only encouraged us, but given us permission to intervene so that something happens. You know what this kind of care is called? It's called a burden. I didn't know what a burden was. I got saved and I didn't know what a burden was. But I found out that God will lay things on your heart. And it feels like a heaviness on your heart. Maybe you've seen someone that isn't saved and you just feel horrible for their life and you wish they knew the joy that you know about who Jesus is. You wish they knew the freedom of what it's like to have your sins forgiven, on and on and on. You know what? God gives you a burden. And a burden sometimes feels like a little bit of heaviness, but it's not heaviness. It's God laying it on your heart so that you can carry it there again in prayer, but so that you can do something. It's called a burden. A burden is something that thrusts me into action. You see, I mean, listen, I see commercials on TV about dogs and cats that are freezing to death. I mean, have you seen those things? Don't laugh. Don't laugh. That's really a tragedy. But I see those things, and they have the music behind it. You know what they're trying to do? They're doing what they should do in that circumstance. They're trying to visually show you a horrible situation. The music is trying to put you in a motion to where you'll pick up and give them your credit card number. That's exactly what they're doing. Well, God does a whole lot more than that. God says, you know what? I just want to identify with my spirit. It's called a godly character. And through burden, this is exactly what he does. A burden will give you a perspective. It's called God's perspective. You will see God's side of this thing and not just a commercial about, oh, bless their hearts, they need to do this. We cannot do what God wants us to do until we see what God sees. And when you see what God sees, it's almost like it's a no-brainer. I know what I have to do now. Let me share a couple of verses with you real quick. You'll find this kind of burden in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 4. It says this, let each of you look not only to its own interest, but to the interest of others. Listen, it's okay to take care of yourself, but not at the expense of others. Did you hear that? It's okay to take care of yourself. It's okay to take care of your house. It's okay to make sure you have enough money to eat. It's okay to save for retirement, but not at the expense of others. Because God has this incredible equation that nobody can explain. And that is that when I give of myself, and in other words, I take out of my resources and give to God for something, whether it's a tabernacle or whether it's a food pantry or whatever, God seems to bless what I have left over to always take care of what I gave away. And probably and usually to the excess. It's amazing how God does that. But it's also amazing how many people have never experienced that. How they've never experienced, and God doesn't want that anymore. Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 31 says, as you wish others would do to you, do so to them. I was in the second grade when I was introduced to this. This was called the golden rule. Sure, we should do this. This would be a part of us. And if we will adopt something like this through this year will be a great year of caring. And it'll be exampled all over the place. And it'll be seen all over, received all over the place. Galatians 5:14 says this, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody knows John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I've added up here verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved, that's when he began to feel. Remember, that's where that first level of caring is, that we feel. And God felt love for us. And then guess what he did? That he gave. This is where we start the example for Jesus that he gave. The ultimate sacrifice. Then in verse 17 it says, what did he do? He went and did something about it. What if Jesus and God got up there and they were so concerned about human nature and everything else, his great invention, but he never sent Jesus to die for our sins? Good luck, humanity. That's exactly where it would be. But he didn't do that, and we should never do it either. John 3:16. But have you ever read 1 John 3:16? And a little beyond there? Let me take you there real quick. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It goes on to say this, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Listen, I realize this sermon is really a whole lot about preaching to the choir, so to speak, but sometimes our caring has been overwhelmed by the things that we have to do in life and what life is doing to us. You know what? We have to somehow just trumpet the call and just throw up the flag for caring, because our world isn't doing it for us. There's not a whole lot of people out there promoting that you should be goodwill people, that you should go out there looking to help somebody else, to reach out beyond your own borders and help your neighbor and do this, that, the other. You know, inherently, it's in a lot of us. But sometimes it just gets such a clutter out there in our in our society that it's hard to do that. And we need to clear all that so we can see Jesus and his purposes all over again. Let me take you to James, the second chapter, verse 14 through 18. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. I saw something, I forget where it was. I thought it was, anyway, just recently. There was a guy who was living in his car. Maybe you've seen this. Living in his car in the Kansas City area. Big snow. You know, this guy doesn't have a job, doesn't have anywhere to live. Living out of his truck. And he saw somebody stranded on the side of the road. He stopped and helped them. Well, it was a guy named John Allen. He's a Kansas City Chief football player. He made his way onto the stadium and played. But he was so overwhelmed by this guy that helped him, and he didn't know who he was, that he started basically, I guess, whether a tweet, you know, or Facebook or whatever. Finally, they found this guy. And this guy said, yeah, I wasn't looking for anything. I was just helping someone. What did he have to help with anybody? He's living out of his truck. No job, no house. Doesn't take a whole lot to move the needle, does it? Doesn't take a whole lot. You don't need tens and thousands of dollars. You just need the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And let him help you care. It's not hard to care. It's not hard to care at all. I want to revisit this quote from Ronnie Odom. It says, excellence is a result of caring more than others think is wise. So we should care more than is wise. Risking more than others think is safe. So we should risk more than is safe. Dreaming more than others think is practical. So we should dream more than is practical, according to him. Expecting more than others think is possible. So we should expect more than is possible. You know the thing that's what's different and what's missing from my revision from his? What others think. What others think. There should only be one person that we're worried about how he feels about our caring, our compassion, how we live our lives. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's really the only one that matters. So when we began to check, is this okay or is this not okay? Should I do this or should I not do this? You know what? There's only one person you should consult. And it's not your neighbor. It's not the others. You shouldn't put your finger in the air and see which way the wind's blowing to decide whether this is going to be okay with the crowd. You should do whatever you're supposed to do based on what God tells you to do. And I believe that this year can be a fabulous year of us being caring, loving, passionate, compassionate, overwhelmingly willing to give people. But you see, it's only the beginning of 2019. We have to use this year as a measurement of proof so we get a year to prove it. And I believe that we will. I really do. Now, let me just tell you, some of you are in here today, and you know what? It's not that God is moving you to pray for others. You're the one in need. There's something you need in your life today. Will you give us the opportunity to pray with you? There's some of you in here today that, you know what, you really would like to help, but you're the one that needs help. You're the one that needs help. You just need something. And God knows what that answer is. And God wants to do something about it. So today, as we close this part of our Sunday morning worship, you know, there's not a whole lot of emotion running around here. And I think I've created that for a reason. You know, emotions kind of move us, but if they are going to move us, they should move us in the right direction. Remember what I said? Emotions are associated with caring. So what should we do with that? We should pray. We should pray. What do you want to say about yourself at the end of 2019? It's fixing to click right over into 2020. What do you want to look back on and be proud of? That you were a caring person? That you gave? That possibly God will lay it on your heart to go and do something, whether it's Africa, which I understand that's kind of an extreme, but you know what? How many of us just go straight across the street? If you're not willing to go straight across the street, Bill, you're never going to see us in Africa. What a novel idea. And God forbid that we would go to Africa, but we didn't go across the street. Now, Pastor, you're just getting mean. I understand that. I understand it because I'm sorry to say it to myself. But God wants us to be a caring people. Caring people by the way we act and what we say and what we do, and not because we have a title. And I believe that we can do it. Will you close your eyes and bow your heads with me? I'm asking that today, if you have a need, that we want to pray with you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We really want to pray with you. I mean, man, in the context of this service today, there are needs here. And, you know, God puts us together so that we can literally share each other's needs, so that this church can be a caring church at this moment. This is our first step toward being a caring church and being caring people in the year of 2019. Hey, if there is a need in your life, would you just raise your hand and put it right back down? There's just something you say, Pastor, thank you. Anybody else? I have some needs. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Man, there's a bunch of people in here today. Well, listen, you know what? When we have need, doesn't mean that we're horrible people. It just means that we have a need. It doesn't matter what it is. But we understand this, that the only person who can really meet our need is the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, we're going to start that first level of caring, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you with all that we have. Because the Lord can give us that compassion and give us that start right here today. So I'm going to ask all of you to stand. The worship team is going to lead us in a song in dismissal. But the first thing I want you to do, and we've done this several times before, I just want you to reach out and take the hand of the person next to you. Stranger or not, there's just something valuable in sensing that we're in all of this stuff together. You see, today might be your day to give, but tomorrow might be your day to need. Today might be the day that you need, but God forbid that we don't give you the desire and the opportunity for us to pray for you. On and on, God is going to lead us into these aspects. And I'm so glad that sometimes it is absolutely fleshed out in going and doing something in another country. To me, that's just the ultimate. It's just fantastic. But it starts with caring right here where you are. As I pray, would you pray for that person on your right and left? You may or may not know their name, but God knows everything. God knows that this moment, your prayer, even though you're not saying it out loud on behalf of them, you don't know what to pray for them, God does. And today we can be that kind of church, and we can launch, literally launch, a year of caring. Because this moment, we're going to capture it, and we're going to keep it in our heart, and we're going to continue caring, and it's going to go far beyond just praying. The next thing God's going to do, he's going to add to that, and he's going to ask you to give. Maybe some of your time, maybe some of your money, maybe some of your resources, maybe some of your abilities. But he's going to start matching all of that. And sooner or later, whether it's across the street or across the ocean, God is going to say, I want you to go, and I want you to do. And there's no greater satisfaction than knowing that God has moved me. We talk about moving the needle. How about moving the needle in our own life? And begin to pray that active prayer. Father, send me. Just send me. And he knows exactly where you need to go. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we conclude this service today, I pray for everyone, Lord. As we hold hands, it reminds us, not only are we not alone in this place, but we're never, ever alone because you're always with us. And today, Father, in our deep need, we ask you to bless us, take care of us. Father, some of us need to be healed. Some of us need to be encouraged. Some of us find ourselves weak here today. We need the strength of God. Some of us, Lord God, are facing unbelievable circumstances. We're wondering where we're going to pay the next bill. We're wondering how we're going to make it through this week. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, help us, oh God. We cry out to you, Lord God. Help us in our need, Father. We're praying to the God who can do anything. He created this earth. Lord, it doesn't matter if it's finances or a body. Doesn't matter if it's a house or a car, whatever our need is. There's some people in here that need direction today. They need to know where to go. They need to know what the next step is. And Father, we ask you to meet their need right now. We pray to you because you are the Almighty God and because you are the example, the extreme example of caring. The Bible tells us that you cared so much for us that you are willing to send your son and die a horrible, horrible death because you loved us so much. We thank you for that, Lord God. Father, we just want to sing this song as an act of worship before we leave this place. As we do, Lord, we just want to honor you with everything we have. May our lives be a living example of caring this year in the year of 2019. Amen.